dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There's a quarter on the ground. Will you bend down and pick it up?
Yeah.
Because I will not.
Oh my God, look at this guy. Wills and won'ts. Will eat a Cobb salad in a movie theater.
Yep.
Won't pick up a quarter.
No, I cannot tell you the last time I used a coin in a transaction. Did I flip a coin once in the last 3 years? I think I've used a coin flipping app more recently than I've used a coin.
I'm going to have a trail of quarters from here to your car. For $10, you're going to pass those 40 quarters, not pick a single one of them up, and then I'm going to take them.
I would rather you give me $3 on one of these apps than you give me $10 in quarters.
Wow. This is not a mindset to become a millionaire.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Excuse me. It's chilly out there. And it's not raining yet, but it's going to for a long time soon. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe once again. Joe's on vacation this week.
Has he tweeted where he is? Can we say where he is?
He's somewhere warm.
He's where yes, he is where it is warm. Not just warm. He's where it is hot. He was reading me the forecast. 90s. So, yeah.
Sure.
90s.
I'll take it.
It's hot. Where he is. Hey, good morning. We're here. We've got you covered for the next 4 hours. Plenty to get to, including an NBA Eastern Conference preview with Eastern Conference final preview with Steve Ashburner of NBA.com. Whenever we want to reach out and chat NBA, I always text Steve, and he's gracious enough to come on. So a little NBA talk at 9 o'clock. Football along the way. Plenty to get to. We've got a crazy stat of the day on the Carolina Hurricanes. Fun will be had by all. I demand it.
You demand
fun. I don't promise it. I demand
it. Demand
fun. Yes,
okay.
That's right. So Those of you that are already up with us, good morning. And those of you in the chat, good morning to you as well. Bring a good vibe today. We'll do our best to do the same. One thing we talked a lot about yesterday. Nate, did you see it coming that the NFL would pass the flag football thing? Yes. Did you see it being unanimous?
No, I didn't.
I'm trying to think of how many times the NFL owners approve something unanimously.
Yeah.
A unanimous approval to say, yes, we will send players to the Olympics as part of flag football if they want to go. And the finer details, as you heard Josh in the update, the finer details will still be worked out. So we'll have more on that. Today they're going to vote on the playoff seating and the tush push. We can get to that a little later. But unanimous, which... we talked a lot about it yesterday, and we agreed on some parts, and we disagreed on some parts. We didn't really get to it in the early hour of the show here. So if you have a thought on the flag football story in the NFL, it's a good chance to give us a ring. The earlier crowd might not have been on this as much as we were later in the morning, like 7:30, 8 o'clock on. So wide open phone line, if you have a reaction to it or a thought on it, I'll ask you, do you think, whatever, 24 hours later, that we missed some part of it? Or are you more convinced about the NFL's vision for what it could be that it was unanimous? I mean, to me, that is a statement from the league, that to not even have one dissenting vote.
Yeah.
Terry Pegula does not say, if Josh Allen wants to go, I don't want him to go out there. He's, sure, anybody wants to go, figure it out. But yes, in the PA, the NFLPA, the NFL CBA, I should say, you guys can go. Go win a gold medal for your country. And we'll figure out whether or not it hurts us.
Yeah, I guess I would say that I am a little surprised, but I also maybe want to point out that really this week, what has felt like a lot of these votes don't really feel all like it's that much of a democracy, anyways. Just a lot of the reporting about. Did you hear the Green Bay report?
What's
about
that
why they're the team that's pushing for the push?
No, I heard why the we speculated why the Lions are the team making the playoff seed point. Why is Green Bay making the tush push?
Supposedly it's because they don't have a principal owner. So there isn't an owner to look at and say, why are you doing this, man?
That makes sense.
So it's gotten me to the point, and it's not that I had these grand, innocent visions that the NFL is, you know, ruled by owners who actually think for themselves and have these, you know, decisions. I just think it's what Roger Goodell wants. It's going to get passed. They wanted it. Remember all the opposition to the 17-game schedule?
Yeah.
And then it just went away?
Yeah.
And they were like, you know what? Maybe we want 18 games.
And they're going to get 18 games.
If they want it, if Roger Goodell says it, they will have it.
Right. He works for the owners, but he might be more of a director than some other GM or some other commissioners might be.
And, you know, listen, it's not. I'm not going to go down conspiracy theory way this morning, but, you know, if the Olympics said to Roger Goodell, this is a great money-making opportunity, we would love the NFL, the most popular, you know, whatever, outside of soccer, Premier League, the most popular sports league in the U.S. for the U.S. hosting the Olympics, this could really help us. You should get the NFL behind it.
Yeah.
What owner, you know, like, so for me, it just is like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm surprised it's unanimous, but if the NFL, if Roger Goodell says that's what he wants to, what he wants done, I guess that's just what's going to be done.
Yeah, he still has to get the votes. I mean, he's been wanting the tush push gone for a couple years now. That'll get voted on today, which, by the way, makes today happy last day we talk about the tush push being banned for maybe like 8-9 months. Today will be a vote, and if it doesn't get banned, then it's just back for another year. Yeah, you're talking about a commissioner that has his thumb on the scale to a degree. I want to defend that. Is that wrong? I think he is a better commissioner than Gary Bettman.
I think he's a better.
I mean, those are the two sports we have in town, and when the NFL sees something it doesn't like, forget about the criticism. That Roger Goodell says, in his opinion, he thinks the tush push basically is bad and should go away. And whether it's Green Bay, you laid out that point for why they are the team, or if it's the Bills claiming safety, which I think doesn't really fly as an argument right now, he is trying to guide the league in a direction, also to 16 international games. He said that yesterday. And I think I appreciate that, as opposed to the commissioner that isn't thinking like that and is just a shield for the owners to say everything is great all the time. And the NHL and the NFL both have imperfect playoff formats. The NFL is looking to revamp theirs. The NHL, which is much worse in their playoff format, they haven't had a vote to change it in, what, 10 years? It's been a terrible format. And I actually have numbers to back that up, too. So you're okay, all right. I did not see that about Green Bay, and that's why they've been chosen. Speculation reporting there? Okay. I want the tush push banned. I want the playoff seeds changed. I didn't really care about the players at the Olympics, so, you know, if Goodell wanted my vote, I would have said probably sure. If you owned a team, how would you vote on these three issues? How would you vote on the tush push? I would get rid of it. I wouldn't even think twice. Like, yeah, sure, let's get rid of that thing. I think it looks dumb. I think it's dumb the Bills do it as much as they do. It's not dumb because it works. Except for one very important game where it didn't work very much. But other than that, just because of that, let's never run it again.
Let's never
see it again in our lives. I'd get rid of it in a heartbeat. I have come all the way firmly to, yes, let's change the NFL playoff structure. Firmly there. In fact, I've got a list of teams that should vote yes. I'll tell you why. They need 24. I think I got to 22 teams that should vote yes. Definitely should vote yes.
On the schedule change.
On the reseeding, yes. On the new playoff.
The playoff schedule.
Yeah, on the new playoff format. And then on the Olympics, you know, we got into this a lot yesterday. Then here's Justin Jefferson. I saw an interview with him. I sent it to Josh. We'll play a little bit later. Jefferson talking about how big it is for flag football as a sport and how big it is for men and women, of course, because there are flag football leagues and women's flag football will be an Olympic event. So far, the best case I've got for it in terms of why it makes sense and why it will work or what it exists for is it paves the way for other people to play football that aren't 6'6" quarterbacks or 6'5" defensive tackles that weigh 290. You want to just play football because football is fun and we want to grow this game on a global level the same way you can play. You can go to Delaware Park and watch seven people just playing soccer. You don't really see that for football nearly as much. Maybe in 20 years you will. Think about the history of your sporting life. Where are there fields and what games did you play pickup? Did you play pickup basketball?
Certainly.
Endlessly. How many courts are there?
A
million.
A
baseball in your life. Did you play pickup baseball? I did endlessly.
I did.
That might have gone away a little bit, but whatever. There's baseball fields everywhere. Go play baseball. Soccer. Run onto a field and play.
Yep.
Football. You aren't really allowed on fields.
No.
Anywhere there's a field, an actual field, you're not allowed on it. And if you want to play, you're going to go just out into an actual open field.
Front yard.
And mark up cones and play. And that's still super fun. I just wonder if the NFL has long-term concerns about safety of the game, and this is another conversation to have that makes the game seem more inclusive. I don't know. I'm looking for every single way that in those meetings they were convinced 32-0 to vote yes to put Lamar Jackson out there at the Olympics if he wants to play there. It's kind of surprising to me. I don't have a problem with it. It came on us quick.
It did. And then for it to be that unanimous.
It got approved fast.
Yeah. Yeah, and it would be one thing if we were like, well, you know, a lot of the players are pushing for this. I hadn't heard a lot of reports that it was like the players were really pushing for it. Like you said, and I think this is right. I think largely there will be a handful of players that really want to play. And to be clear, it's one player per team, correct?
One player per team, we think.
Okay.
It might be one player per team per country. These finer details are a little different. Trying to figure out these finer details. That's where the IOC comes in, the PA, all that. So I don't know if it's one player per team or one player per country per team. Could you have a player wanting to play for Italy if his heritage is Italian?
Yeah, and I don't exactly know how that works. I know in basketball, like you've got like Karl-Anthony Towns played for Puerto Rico, but he's born in Puerto Rico. His family's from Puerto Rico. Dominican Republic?
Yes, I was going to say Puerto Rico is an American.
Yes, Dominican Republic.
Yes. Okay.
I apologize. Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, do you have to be born there? Can you just be, like, I'm 50% or 75% Irish. Could I go play for Ireland?
It's a good question.
I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, I don't either. AC writes in on the YouTube chat, the feed, organized flag football will inevitably get to a point where only specific types of athletes and builds are playing, just like any sport, and universal appeal will fade in due time. I don't know I don't know about that. It's just being fast and agile.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get.
Someone said this yesterday, and this is my concern for NFL players playing flag football. It's not dramatically different movement, but it's different movement than they're used to. And those guys train their movements. Like you watch any training video of running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They're training how they play. So there are different the squat shimmy, is that what I called it?
Squat shimmy? Daryl Doucette dropping
the
I was calling it the hip drop. Not the hip drop tackle, just a hip dip we
call
it.
Hip drop shuffle.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not something you see a lot in the NFL.
I mean, am I to believe that an NFL running back couldn't do that?
Not that I'm saying they couldn't. I'm just saying these are going to be a little bit of they're different movements for players that are.
You know, a lot of the highlights were guys running, holding the ball high above their head and
stopping,
twisting and get skinny through contact. You know what it also looked like to me? As maybe over the last 24, 48 hours you've watched some of these international flag football highlights. It also looks to me, one other way to say this, while you're impressed by Daryl Doucette, what's his nickname again? He's got a nickname. I forget what it is. Is it Hush?
He's got
a nickname. Anyway. He's the starting quarterback, and
Housh Money?
Yeah, there you go, Housh. He's got a shirt on, Housh. Anyway,
apparently it comes from his resemblance of T.J. Hushmanzada.
Hushmanzada. Okay, he's Housh. Housh Doucette. Okay, fair enough.
Hushmanzada.
That comes from
name I haven't heard in a long time.
That's right. What was I going to say?
Josh, you're too young to know T.J. Hushmanzada.
What are you talking about?
Do you know him as T.J. Hushamazili?
Yeah.
Oh.
Housh Mazili?
You know T.J. Hushmanzilla?
Oh, I certainly
the
do.
Commercial or the fantasy football, right? Anyway.
It's kind of like the J.P. Losman commercial.
Which one's that?
Kenny Stabler? Is the reincarnation of J.P. Losman's reincarnation of Kenny Stabler?
That one, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that one?
I don't remember that commercial.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't remember that one.
That was a good one.
Okay.
That was NFL Network, I think.
What was I going to say?
We got into...
About getting skinny in these players Hausch, and...
Hausch money?
Yes. What was I going to say? Oh, no.
I'm sketched out about that. That's where I...
About what?
Like, the stopping and the starting and, like, that to me, it's just a breeding ground for non-contact injuries.
Now I remember what I was going to say. These highlights. These highlights look like, you know, your most agile NFL players. I saw someone put together a list where Twitter's AI and ChatGPT were asked to put together teams.
Like the best possible
best flag.
Flag okay.
football teams. Like, here's what's useful in flag football. Who should be on the team?
Sure.
And who was a universal choice? Kyle Hamilton was both teams. Sauce Gardner was both teams. Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson were both teams. Sure. Is it a slightly different skill set? Yeah. It's the 7-on-7 stars in NFL football that would be flag football stars. What I was going to say is these highlights are somewhat of a recall of when you watch highlights of Jim Brown.
When, like, UPS drivers were playing?
Yeah. Yeah. All due credit to the guys running with the ball.
Yes.
The guys tackling are not as gifted and skilled as Kyle Hamilton's ability to track someone like that.
No doubt. Here's the thing about flag football. Have you played like actual flag football?
Where you're grabbing the flag.
Yes.
Not two on two, but grabbing the flag.
Yeah, not two hand touch, but like flag football's hard. Like all of your momentum, everything you do in football, you are chasing the man or the woman in the case of flag football. When you get into flag football, your eyes go from I'm looking at you to I am now looking down at your waist. And it is a major change in how you are like thinking about and approaching, because I just think about when you grow up and you're playing football, how you are taught to tackle is you tackle with your head up. Like everything's your head up. You need to be able to see the tackler. And when you're going down to grab a flag, like that's how those stop moves happen. You know,
that's boom. How Hoosh Doucette smokes you.
That's how he gets. That's how you beat that. So, yeah. And so I'm just saying there will be NFL defenders. If their NFL defenders do play, yes, they're much better than probably the guys that are, defending in the pro flag football leagues right now. But it's not like their job's going to be any easier. It is a very notable change on movement and your objectives. Like, that's why it's like, I know there's going to be NFL players that play. Which ones I'll be super interested to see.
Do you feel like you are going to watch them and hope that somebody smokes them? There's a highlight of Tyreek Hill getting smoked off the line by a young girl playing flag football. And she drops a move on him and dusts him.
You're asking me if I hope some NFL players get humbled. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, though.
I
because on that play, Tyreek Hill got absolutely roasted. What happened? He caught up to her and batted the pass. He didn't catch it, but whatever. 803-0550 on the flag football unanimous vote in the NFL. And some of the quotes about this, the comments about this, it's just kind of wild. That, again, like I'm struck by how quickly it came on, and the vote was 32-0. Per a source with knowledge of the voting, it happened on the first ballot.
Wow.
Yeah. This is according to
Pro Football Talk. If it's unanimous, that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
Yep. And not through the not uncommon device of holding a second vote for PR purposes aimed at creating the impression everyone was on the same page. That's something Florio wrote. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He just can't write anything without throwing his own. Here's why it's a conspiracy.
Yes.
He's interested in that it was unanimous as well, seeing like even Mike Brown, who often votes no on everything, was a yes. So it's coming. 2028. What Bills player will go? Who even knows who's on the team at that point? Max Hairston. There's my pick.
I would agree with you.
Max Hairston.
Yes.
Your best flag football. I wonder if you could get a scout on here.
Would we say what would you say? What would you cut? You're building a team.
Mm-hmm.
What trait would you covet in flag football? And is it different than if you were building an NFL team?
Sure. Your flag football team would be entirely speed and agility.
Just straight speed.
Yeah. Speed and agility.
Yeah.
And dexterity.
I might add someone like Keon Coleman. The 50-50 ball is increasingly important in flag football.
Yeah. Sensitive subject about Coleman if you want to bring him up a little bit later.
Oh.
Yeah. The Matt Harmon reception perception.
Oh, did it come out?
Yeah.
It came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
You are going to want a hazmat suit.
Oh.
For
it gets messy.
Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com, who I largely consider to be one of the best evaluators of wide receivers,
agreed,
independent of quarterbacks. I'm debating when to bring it up, why to bring it up, and how to bring it up because it is trouble.
Should we do it early? You know, for the early crowd, maybe.
Well, the one thing to say about it is, hey, look, a lot of people were wrong about Josh Allen.
Yes.
And this is, you know, just one person's opinion, but looking at his first season, he didn't hold back on how really dreadful it was.
Ah.
Yeah. In terms of separation, the things he couldn't do, the things he didn't do. If you can't separate, are you separating in flag football? You're saying you're going to go over top of people? I'll just get another person there.
NFL.
He also didn't have a very good.
Bills didn't think he needs to separate.
He also didn't have a very good contested catch rate.
No, but I where I'm going is the contested catch guy is also
you're thinking the basketball player.
Yeah. You need one of those guys.
Maybe.
DK. He'll be washed by then.
Right. We are forecasting 3 years in the future.
And a lot changes in the NFL in 3 years. Too much changes in 3 years.
Yeah. 803-0550.
I also, at some point this morning, want to talk about in our group chat. I know we kind of mentioned it, maybe it was Monday, but in our group that we did the Joe Marino thing, he was supposed to be on today, he's going to be on one like Friday.
Yep.
We talked about like the James Cook thing. If he was paid, would he be on that list?
Yep.
And I know you guys talked about it on your podcast a mm-hmm. little bit. I think I have a little bit more of a take on that at
on
some
James
point
Cook?
This morning. Yeah. On that specific thing, if kind of how he's viewed based on his kind of murky future.
Yeah. It is murky.
It's murky.
Would he be good at flag football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not super like laterally quick, but man.
Yeah, you want the jump cuts.
Yes.
You want more Gibbs. You want more, although Gibbs and
Saquon.
Yeah, you want Saquon.
You definitely want Saquon.
Saquon, I don't know.
Is there any other sport where Derrick Henry would walk in and might be the last overall pick?
You would not expect Derrick Henry to be, right, a highly touted flag football.
Any playground that Derrick Henry walks onto, he is the first round pick of everything except for flag football. First overall pick.
He's really fast.
He is
He's
fast.
Exceedingly fast, but right, He runs
that
through.
That kind of...
He's Marshawn. He runs through people's
right.
faces. And that's the whole idea. I'm going to run through your face.
And there's just... You don't need that.
Right. 803-0550. We did a lot with it yesterday on whether or not players would want to play, how the people in the flag football world will accept them. Everybody seems happy about it. A 32-0 unanimous vote, to me, sends a message that, like, of course the league was on board with this. And this, whatever the internal conversations convinced everyone, to me that was a stunner to see. Any vote that's very popular is 28-3. Go to Congress, ask if they think puppies are cute. It'll be like, you know, the Senate would vote that 90-10.
Yeah.
And here's 32-0 for flag football participants from the NFL. 803-0550 to join us. I want to hear your James Cook point here. What you want to bring up about Cook. We'll do that. I've got a stat of the day on the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'm actually going to bring in the Bills drought, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Toronto Maple Leafs all into one point, if you're ready for that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. Busy Wednesday.
Listen, the things you can do midweek, the energy that has been generated over 2 days.
Yes, very busy Wednesday. Yeah. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Those guys played.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flag football every day. They know the rules, they know the ins and out on everything. So it would be tough to, you know, just to say like it's just going to be all NFL players. And on top of that, there's only going to be so many positions, you know, it's only going to be so many spots on the team. So everybody can't play. It's going to be tough, but I mean, that's going to be difficult to beat out Patrick Mahomes for the starting quarterback spot. So, I mean, good luck, but I mean, that one going to be tough for sure. That's going to be tough.
Justin Jefferson on the NFL players now approved to go to the Olympic Games in 2028 and compete in flag football. I don't know why Mahomes is the standard here for the conversation. Maybe because the USA flag football quarterback said he has a higher football IQ than Patrick Mahomes. That might be why. But Lamar is most definitely a better prospect than Mahomes is for flag football. I mean, Lamar, I think, would be the best prospect for
yes, I agree.
Above Allen as well. For the same reason you kind of just laid out, like Derrick Henry would not be the best idea for flag football because physicality isn't quite as valuable as, you know, just flat out lateral ability. Anyway, 32-0 was the vote on the flag football resolution, and they're going to go. We'll see how many players go. It might be a whole grand to do about very little if five NFL players are playing in the Olympics. A.J. Brown, count him among those that said he's not interested because it's too close and slash competes with training camp. So no thanks, A.J. Brown. It is also 3 years from now. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's here. You had a thing you had to bring up about James Cook?
Yeah, so I was listening to you guys, and then, you know, we kind of brought him up earlier in the week and hearing and seeing, again, we did this exercise with Joe Marino, and you can check it out over at Locked On Bills. I think, we had like 12, 14, a bunch of content creators.
Yes, yes, a panel.
A panel of content creators. This is like my fourth or fifth year doing it. We vote on the 10 most important players to the future of the Bills. And, you know, like I did. I had Ed Oliver as like my follow-up player in my profile because I left Ed Oliver out of my top 10, but he was also a player that moved down seven spots. Mm-hmm. He was number 3 last year and ended up at number 10 amongst our consensus top 10. We also left out James Cook.
Yes.
And one person voted for him?
Yeah. So Joe Marino put in together this panel, 15 or whatever panelists, list the top 10 most important Bills. James Cook got one vote, and that vote was 10th.
I didn't even consider James Cook when I put that list together. Wasn't even a name that I was like, because when you make these lists, Jeremy, right? Like a lot of times when you're making a list like this, especially when you're doing it for an exercise, you make the list and then you immediately like reshuffle it three times. You're like, no, I gotta move him there. Oh, shoot. I left him off. Okay, I have to reshuffle this. At no point, I did this with TJ Sanders. I did this with Dalton Kincaid. I'm like, Kincaid's got to be here in the top 10. He's a first-round pick. He's a pass catcher. I got to have him here. It didn't even cross my mind that James Cook should be or was even an honorable mention in this. So when I'm putting this all together and thinking about it, I try to think about like why that was the case. Why did we all leave? Why did one person vote him and only vote him as 10th? And I thought about what this season could look like for James Cook. It's a really important season for James Cook, right? I mean, he's in a contract year. And he had a contract year type of season in terms of productions last year, which is why they're trying to get that addressed this year. I think there's a very good chance that if James Cook had been signed, or at least slightly extended, a year, 2 year extension, something, that not only would he be in the top 10, but that he'd be probably in the top 5. That the contract itself is right now the sole reason I know a lot of us have looked at it. Because, again, it's an exercise of the future. It's not just this year. I think James Cook, in terms of players this year, if you made a list of this year, not the future, but the most important players this year, James Cook's probably 3rd or 4th this year. So there is a disconnect between you know, future because of his uncertainty and actual true importance, he is a very important player to this offense.
Yeah.
An insanely important player. And I do think I've been kind of back and forth on this, Jeremy, about whether I think he'll sign a contract here. And I don't.
You don't think he'll sign?
I don't think he will. But I think it's because I don't think the Bills will offer him one.
Oh, I disagree with that.
You think they're going to try?
Definitely.
I don't think they will.
I think they'll definitely offer him a contract.
And the only reason I don't think that I think the way that I think is they just have never, they've never had a running back as potentially as good as James Cook to have a decision about. But they've just, how they've operated for the entire time that Brandon Bean's here, they use picks on them, second and third rounders, but they don't sign them. They don't spend money on them. I mean, they did re-sign Ty Johnson. I get that. But it's a little bit of a different situation here. I guess where I'm coming from is I do think James Cook is probably a top three or four most important player this year to the Bills. And I still think that, to me, he's not a player that really is in their future.
Yeah. This ranking of the Bills' most important players and how Cook didn't make the list, I think I'm with you on one thing. If he were signed to an extension, he makes the top 10. Because Terrell Bernard made it. And if he didn't have a contract, I don't think he would have made it. Bernard's a great example of this. The Bills went to this offseason with five guys they could sign to extensions, and they signed four of them.
Yeah, which is...
And Cook's the guy they didn't sign. The one thing about this, I always want to leave space for, that the Bills want something to happen, but it's not happening. Would they have re-signed Gabe Davis at the right price? What do you think? I think yes. He got too much to go to Jacksonville. They go to the market. They say, no thanks. See you later. I'll give you one piece of evidence on how the Bills would bring a guy back, and that's Jordan Poyer. Poyer went to the open market.
He did.
He came back and played for what they were willing to give him. So sometimes I think that we see a player leave and we think, oh, the Bills must not have wanted that player.
Sure.
And we might not, through any stage of the process, learn what the Bills are willing to pay James Cook, but I don't have any doubt that there is a number. Now, it might be like $5
million. Yeah, sure.
And it might be an insult to Cook, and he goes and gets 12 somewhere, or it might be 9. And then, again, if he signs for 12 and the Bills were willing to offer 9, do I go to the next offseason saying, well, they're just not
willing? They just won't pay a running back.
Or will they, but just not that price? Because with Gabe, I think it's a great example. They loved everything about him. He priced out. Tremaine Edmonds.
They could get Gabe for the veteran minimum right now.
Well, now they could, but they probably would have paid him 10. They probably would have paid him 10. That's just my guess there. Maybe 8. Who knows what the number is. Tremaine Edmonds is a good example of this. Edmonds, what did he do? He got huge money to go to Chicago. The Bills made offers there. The Bills were in on that to a degree. So, you know, everybody's got a price, and every time this happens with the draft, this happens with free agency, you know, what your team does is not every single thing they want it to happen. Things just go the other way. You think maybe you've got a good dialogue with James Cook. Maybe you have a good dialogue. He's having a really great year, and you're thinking, you know what, we like where this is going, James. Make sure you reach out to us before you sign somewhere else, and then March 6th comes around, or whatever day it is going to be where legal tampering happens next year, and you find out some team gave him $18 million. You say, like, well, I guess that's that. We would have done it, but I guess that's that. So
yeah, you never in the NFL get to see what bids didn't get selected.
Exactly.
It's not like a house.
It's much like the draft board.
Yeah.
You never see what the team wanted to happen. You see how they ultimately got to their decision. And even then, they don't show you their work. So I always want to keep that in mind, that, you know, the idea that they don't want to pay a running back. They didn't want to pay Devin Singletary.
That's right.
But Singletary, he did some things that Cook didn't do, like pass pro. But he fumbled a lot, and he wasn't really much of a breakaway, game-breaking threat, which is something that James Cook is.
Is, 100%.
Big time, big time. I am totally on board with signing James Cook. I think that, as a former running back doesn't matter person, and I still am there largely, but when you have what the Bills have, the same way that you have with the Ravens and the Niners and the Eagles, can it not be? Can anyone else out there explain? Is there a coincidence why the best teams have kind of gone back in on running back? Not a team like the Giants with Barkley, but a team that's already good deciding it's important to have someone that's dynamic at this position. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think what they're seeing is the smart GMs have known this position has actually been undervalued, and when you pair it with something that's already a full build, you get more out of it. And I think the Bills are that kind of team. If it's not Cook, is Breece Hall available next year? Do they like Breece Hall?
Sure.
I mean, has Cook not had a better last couple of years than Breece Hall?
Yeah.
Or at least last year.
I'll say this. The value conversation is probably the right one to have about running back. It's just that positional value to wide receivers has gone through the roof. Even tight ends are becoming, they're out sort of pacing their production. I mean, the number for tight ends and Kittle, what it could potentially be in a year for Laporta or even a guy like Dalton Kincaid, it could potentially price them out value-wise. So the value conversation is, I think, an important one for running back. But what you brought up, I thought, was I think a point that probably doesn't get talked about enough is that the good teams are now starting to value the running back position, where for a long time it's always been the bad teams.
Always.
Always.
Trying to build that way.
And when you consider the fact that the percentage of cap that running back, the elite running backs now account for, elite running backs used to count for a larger percentage of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much smaller percentage of the cap now. So instead of paying your number two receiver $17, $20 million, you pay a really good running back $13, $12. Or if you're the Eagles, you do both.
Yeah.
You pay your top two receivers a quarterback and a running back and a tight end and a left tackle and a right tackle. And a left guard.
Everybody.
They spend a lot of money on that.
They
offense.
Do. More teams can do what they do.
They just don't.
Not enough teams do.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson says an Olympic gold medal is a dream.
Mm.
I think you can put Jefferson
on the list
of
players
that's
going
to
play.
Might want to go to the LA Olympics on a flag football team. Of course, he did say, as we came back from break, like it's going to take a work to learn all the rules and do all that stuff. So he's giving credit to the people that have laid the groundwork before him. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. When we get back, stat of the day for you on the Hockey Conference Finals. That is a jaw-dropper.
That's the stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Jeremy and Joe. Nate's in for Joe. Joe's on vacation this week. Nate today. Sal in tomorrow. And you're off tomorrow, so have fun doing what you're doing.
Working.
Stat of the day.
Let's do it.
Has to do with the Carolina Hurricanes. They lost last night to the Florida Panthers. It was the 13th consecutive Eastern Conference final game that they have lost.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you...
I mean, they've been to the conference finals and not won a game in 13 straight games. 13 straight conference final game losses.
That's insane.
Yes. Yes, that is. 13 straight. That's three sweeps.
Yes.
And we're underway. Now, how could one explain that? Can I give you one answer?
I would love to hear an explanation because I am trying to...
This would be good because next segment, I want to get to the NFL playoff seeding conversation. I'm going to tie in the Bills drought and this stat and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Why are the Leafs the way that they are? That's a rhetorical... Well, on some
okay,
level, that's
rhetorical. I figured it was rhetorical.
Why do the Leafs live the life that they live? Because the playoffs work so no matter what. Pretty much. They don't get wild card spots. The Leafs get in as one of the top three in the division.
Yep.
They will play Tampa, Boston, or Florida, no matter what.
No matter what.
And then when they win that round, they will play Tampa, Boston, or Florida, no matter what.
Yeah.
So you have arguably the three best franchises, four best franchises in the NHL.
Who will never... They will always beat themselves before getting an opportunity.
Only
yes.
One of them will get to the conference final.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's the NHL format.
That's terrible.
Where the 2-3 matchup is going to be Tampa, Florida, Boston, Toronto.
Yep.
And the winner will play the better team, the best of the group, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Toronto. So the Leafs have lost a bunch to Boston. They've lost a bunch to Florida. And they don't get to this part. Carolina, who do they play? Not Tampa, Boston, Florida, Toronto.
Not in the first two rounds.
They play the Rangers.
And then they actually
play the Devils.
Yeah.
They play Pittsburgh. They play go through that whole Metro Division.
Yep.
That's who they would play in the first round if they are the two or the three over there. And then on the other side, you play the and these franchises are not consistently as excellent.
That's right.
As Tampa, Florida, Boston, Toronto. So they get to the conference finals. And what happens? They play the best of Tampa, Florida, Boston, Toronto, and they get smoked. You have an NHL format that systematically does not bring you the best teams.
That's correct.
To this round.
Yeah.
It is set up to not bring you the best matchup. It's set up to create a rivalry in the first round. That's the whole reason they went to this format in the NHL. And one of the side effects is, wow, you know, it's pretty funky. How could we get to this point? And the team that comes out of Murderer's Row murders Carolina.
Yes.
Why does that happen? It's your format.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not going to change, right?
Right.
I mean, the NHL isn't doing what the NFL does. The NHL doesn't ever really do what the NFL. Here's what I'll say about the NFL.
They rarely get proactive with change.
Correct. And as much as I wanted to walk down, you know, what kind of conspiracy theories, you know, the league is engaging in with Roger Goodell kind of, you know, kind of shadow governing everything when it's kind of really just in plain sight. But at least every year at the owners' meetings, there's conversations about rules changes. And the NFL implements rules and then removes them a year later. Like, they try stuff. The NHL, I've since it was put into place, I think it's the worst playoff setup in pro sports.
Yeah. The Hurricanes' last few appearances in the conference finals, one of those, by the way, is to Pittsburgh in 2008-2009. But since then, they got swept by the Bruins, they got swept by the Panthers, and I'm trying to find the third one here, how far back I've got to go. But anyway, 13 straight losses here. You know what? How the drought bills tied into this? And this is where we're going to get to the next segment of the conversation. The drought bills are a little like the Leafs in that, sure, you are primarily responsible for what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
However, let's not pretend the system wasn't set up to hurt you.
A little victim of circumstance.
Tom Brady existed for you in a way he did not exist for other teams.
And if the current playoff structure was in place during the drought, the Bills would have been in the playoffs.
That's right, as a 7.
Yes.
That's right. But more so for me, it was you had to go 10-4 every year because you're playing the Patriots, and not every team had to play the Patriots. Here's a point about the NFL coming up with this new schedule. I'm sorry, adding international games, going to 18 games, and what should they do with the four seed? I've been fully convinced. The reporting from Pro Football Talk today is that they do not think that rule change will go through. I want to try to find our way to 24 teams that should vote yes, and I'll explain why when we get back. Because I know we like to think that parity is there and teams can always go worst to first, and that is true to a point. The league is set up to help bad teams get good and for parity to reign. But, as you know, Bills fans, the Bills have a parity stopper. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
A couple teams have parity stoppers, and you are not someone that has to worry about that. And that's why some of these teams should vote to change this format. I'll explain when we get back. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe today. Happy Wednesday. Rain comes in a little bit later today, and it'll rain on and off pretty much every day until Sunday. That was the forecast I heard on BEN coming in. So, you know, not trying to bring you down. It'll be good for the plants. There you go.
It'll be great for the plants.
I don't think it sounds like total washout. It just sounds like nuisance rain on and off for like 5 days. So, take that for what it's worth. 803-0550. On the playoff change, which I've been fully convinced of in the last 24 hours. I'll get to that. Get your thoughts on that as well here on WGR.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.